morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or the platform that Elon ruined. We are going to be talking about how to avoid getting scammed, and we want to talk about some of the differences between actual charity nonprofits and political nonprofit-ish. So our guest from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin, Lisa Schiller. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. How are you?
Good, Jane. Thanks. Glad to be here. Hi, everybody.
Tell us, first of all, Lisa, what is a regular nonprofit versus what is called, it's called a 527, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of confusion in regard to, you know, charities and donating and, you know, organizations soliciting for donations. And actually, I have been seeing a lot of inquiries coming in to the Better Business Bureau here in Wisconsin, as well as to our BBB scam tracker from consumers wanting more information about donating. You know, they're saying that they're getting aggressive calls, they're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Are these coming from a particular 527 that people should be on the lookout for?
You know, they're not coming from a particular one, but they're coming from, you know, organizations that have very similar sounding names that are, you know, very similar to charities that are legitimate and whose money is not going to, say, a political organization or a political action committee. So there's a big difference between donating to a charity and donating to a political action committee. And oftentimes what I'm seeing is that people are not realizing where, you know, who they're donating to.
Sure.
Until they reach out to us. And then I look on their website and, you know, scan it real well and then turn around and inform the consumer, you know, go to the company's organization's website. And, you know, you really need to know who you're donating to.
So what should people be on the lookout for, Lisa? If say, I go to this organization's website, is there anything on there that's going to jump out at me, that's going to send off a red flag?
You know, not necessarily, Jane. And that's why, you know, consumers can check with the Better Business Bureau. We have a charity arm called Give, but Give Wisely. It's our Giving Alliance. We have a specific website for it. It's give.org. And you can check on a charity just by going to that website. What we do, the Better Business Bureau reaches out to charities and organizations and asks for financial information. We want to know where their money is going exactly. We break it down. If the organization provides the information, you'll find a beautiful little pie chart that will help you to understand exactly where your money is going. Is the money that you're donating, you know, your hard-earned dollars, are they going to the CEO's salary? Are they going to, you know, the mission for which it was accomplished? I mean, you're donating, so you should know exactly where your money goes.
That's one of the things, you know, that's interesting is we actually talked about this yesterday briefly about getting these scam phone calls from the ones asking for things like police and fire.
The National Firefighters, and, whatever, you know, something like that.
Yep. And I was discussing, there was a documentary on Max called Telemarketers, and people need to know that they can simply ask these individuals, how much money is going to this charity? What do you do? Like, you can actually ask the people who are calling you. Now, they will maybe wiggle their way through the questioning to try to get the answer you want so you give them the money, but you are empowered to ask these organizations these questions.
Gosh, Greg, absolutely. And consumers should. I mean, you have every right to know where your money is going when you donate it, right? And any legitimate charity or soliciting organization will be happy to tell you or provide the information to you. You know, what I'm seeing a lot from consumers, I was starting to say in the beginning before I almost had a coughing attack, excuse me, is that, you know, I started to see suddenly all these inquiries and comments from consumers to our BBB scam tracker, which is a fabulous online reporting tool that we have at bbb.org. And these consumers were saying, you know, I asked for information and what I got in the mail was, you know, a bill or it looked like a bill. And I reached out to our umbrella organization, our charity arm, and I said, hey, do you have any information out there on, you know, identifying the difference between political organizations and PACs or political action committees and charities. I'd love to get the information out to consumers because we're seeing, you know, sudden a volume of inquiries going up. So and then this is the press release that that you saw that I put out. It's called When a Charity is Actually a 527 Political Organization. So that being said, you know, what we really recommend to consumers is, first of all, like you said, Greg, ask whoever is soliciting for information. They should give you their website. You should be able to find out all the information there. Definitely take a minute to check on the charity. Go to give.org in order to do that. You have to really pay attention to name confusion. I think that's what, you know, we're seeing a lot of. The use of the words police and firefighter, as was mentioned before by you, Greg, veterans, the term cancer, we're seeing all of that. If the organization's name does not necessarily, the name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember. You know, people see these words and it tugs at their heartstrings, veterans, cancer, you know, and they want to just give. And let's not forget, people feel rude hanging up the phone. So, you know, they're apt to just say, all right, fine, I'll make a donation and move along. But, you know, we really want people to do a little research, take a step back.
You know, going a couple of steps back, Lisa, the Better Business Bureau, I feel like we all have this idea of what the Better Business Bureau does. It's like, oh, I can go and check and see if a business is good. But you've got a whole arm that deals with this. Like, it's, what is the total breadth of the Better Business Bureau and what we can come to expect from you and protecting us from various nefarious groups or businesses?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, the Better Business Bureau has been around for over 100 years. In fact, the BBB Wisconsin is celebrating its 80th year this year. It's been around a long time, and I think a lot of people generally think of us as a complaint processing organization, complaint taking, which we do, but we do so much more. We first of all provide information on companies through our reports at bbb.org, which are completely free to the public. We let you know if we've received complaints on the company. You can read word for word what those complaints say by the consumer. You know, we do investigating. It's one of my jobs. We share that information with law enforcement and various agencies locally and on a national level. And we refer cases as well. We do advertising review. We offer mediation, arbitration, a whole variety of things. And then, like you said, we have this charity arm that most people don't know about. Now, a lot of local BBBs, we have BBBs in every state, do their own charity reviewing. We no longer do that in Wisconsin. We send those to our umbrella organization, which is our charity arm, the Wise Giving Alliance, and they do those. But we do have reports on political action committees and political organizations here at bbb.org, because those are not the same as charities or soliciting organizations, if that makes any sense.
It does, and it's really important. And I think, again, and we talk about this very frequently, if you have older people in your life, if you have senior citizens in your life, they're the ones who are most likely to pick up the landline. They're the ones who are most likely going to be... Wisconsinites are kind-hearted people, like you said, Lisa, and can easily be swayed into, well, I can do $5. I can do, well, if you're on a fixed income, that can add up really, really quickly. And so you need to talk to the people that you love in your life to give them a heads up, to be a little more suspicious. And I know it's kind of painful that we have to approach things with suspicion, but this is where we are.
And they don't stop at $5. They're like, $5 would be great. But we also have a platinum package that is $45, and it gets you a sticker.
Well, and this is exactly what we hear. And, you know, my father had suffered a double stroke years ago, and he was in assisted living. And I can tell you, I was literally visiting when he would get these calls. And I would get so angry, and they would actually send him what looked like a bill. Mm. So they'd start off by going, hey, Joe, last year you gave $50. How about $55 this year? And, you know, my dad was completely incapable of understanding, and he would just agree to anything. And that's why they'd send him a bill. I cannot tell you how many times I turned around and called these the people, and also filed complaints against them to have my father removed, because that's exactly what they do. They pressure, you know, not everybody, you know, but there are businesses out there that pressure consumers into donating. And this is why it's so important to know exactly who you're giving to, and, you know, don't fall into that name confusion.
Lisa Schiller is our guest from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin, and we're talking about legitimate charities versus political fundraising organizations, and your money may not be going exactly where you think it is, so you have to do a little bit more investigating. Lisa, you said that one of you are an investigator, so now I have this vision of you all in black,
Columbo,
with a cape, you know, Lisa Schiller, crime fighter, and she's going to go bust these crummy people, because how do these people sleep at night?
Yeah.
The scammers. Yeah. How do you sleep?
They sleep in a blanket of money.
I guess.
I mean, it's becoming more, I have to say, like, I didn't know until years ago, like a couple years ago, that when the police, you know, retirement fund or, you know, and they would call me, and I would listen to them, and then I realized, oh, this is a robot. They're not even, this isn't even a real person. So now I don't, because I used to feel guilty when I hung up on them.
And that's the whole idea.
And now I hear, like, you know, you want to give to the police benevolence foundation? Click, nope. If I want to give to the, and that's the other thing too, is when you talk about, Jane, with older people, if they want to be charitable, maybe sit down and say, all right, you want to be charitable? Here are five organizations that
we will
donate.
Yeah.
And we will work on this together. But anybody else who wants money, nope. You put together a plan.
Lisa, we have more questions for you if you can stay with us for a little bit longer.
Sure.
Lisa Schiller is with the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. If you have a question for Lisa, you can text it in at 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 844-967-2789. If you ever want to call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Our guest is Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin, talking about scams and how to protect yourself from scams and how to recognize the difference between a genuine nonprofit and really just a political fundraising operation. And real quickly, Lisa, I just want to mention, I have a sister who loves the Better Business Bureau. She is a pit bull. She doesn't let anything go. And it's important that you people follow through on stuff if they feel like they've been ripped off, right?
A gal after my own heart, Jane.
She is. Yeah, she doesn't let anything go.
Well, I kind of like that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're here as a non-biased third party. We're here to help. We're here to provide information. You know, use us. It's free. BBB.org.
Excellent. Now, we did get a text from the 608 asking a question. Good morning. Is Charity Navigator a good site for evaluating national charities? I'm thinking Sierra Club, National Resources Defense Council, Audubon, etc. What do you say to that question, Lisa?
Charity Navigator is fantastic.
Okay.
I use it as well. You know, Charity Navigator might not have information on all of the charities. So, you know, then you can try give.org and vice versa. If we don't have information at give.org on the charity, try Charity Navigator. If neither one has information, well, then you have to, you know, make a decision for yourself if you want to donate to an organization where you don't really know, you know,
where it's going.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, Lisa, exactly. I think it might be the most important question of this entire interview, one that people struggle with all the time. Anyone who owns a phone, receives mail, has email, and that is, how do I remove myself from these groups?
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're how do I answer that? I give a lot of presentations to groups, and that's always one of the questions. You know, how do I get off of these lists?
Yeah.
There's the Do Not Call registry through the Federal Trade Commission, which, you know, donotcall.gov, which I always recommend putting yourself on. I mean, unfortunately, there are so many bad actors out there that, yeah, you know, don't care about the Do Not Call list, that aren't going to check and that are still going to make calls. But, you know, quite frankly, I not only report, put my phone number on it and make sure it's on it at all times, but I also report every single solitary phone call that I receive that should not be coming through. It takes just a second. You can do it right at on the Federal Trade Commission's website. Really just takes a second. It just makes you feel good, if nothing else. And I always think, if I'm reporting that phone number and the fact that they, you know, called or get, you know, I made a robocall to me, that someday I'm going to read a press release that, you know, they nabbed these guys. So yeah.
If nothing else, just to slow them down a little bit.
Give
just
me
to,
one
just
day.
To get them, yeah, just to get them on somebody's radar a little bit and have them looked at.
One day. Now, this is sort of off the side here. This last week, John Oliver covered something called pig butchering, which was a scam call type of thing. And that's something that I do too. And now I don't do scam calling.
Good.
But one of the things you can do also is reporting the number on your phone. Your phone should give you the opportunity to block and report scam phone callers as well, just in case. You know, I mean, nowadays they're sending you text messages like they're just, oh, we meeting for brunch today?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's not what you do, of course, but I think it just goes along with what you're saying is, if you're getting a robocall, if you're getting a scam call, report it at the necessary places. So that way, you know, yeah, you might not be removed from every list, but you're doing something, and maybe you'll get a little bit less in the way of intrusion into your life.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I tell the older Americans that I talk to in these groups, or just people in general. If you don't know how to block the call, you know, just simply, you know, ask a family member for help, mm-hmm, or go to, you know, the, AT&T store, wherever you got your phone from, and they'll be happy to, yeah, to walk you through it.
Or just find a random 12-year-old, because I'm sure they can tell you how to do it too.
I'm not sure.
Grab someone off the street.
Yeah. I'm not sure about iPhones, but I have a Google phone, and if it has a non-recognized number, it will drop down a box immediately that will allow you to both block and report it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know how it is with the other phones, but that is definitely a very nice feature.
Won't it be nice someday when we don't have to worry about this? I mean, this conversation will hopefully be, you know, something in the past, and we'll all laugh, yeah, about it. Because I feel like, you know, this has just been going on for so long, and it's so annoying. It's so irritating. And yeah, like I said, it's one of the number one questions that, you know, we get when we go out and give presentations in the community. You know, people are just so sick of getting these unwanted calls.
And again, to talk to your elderly relatives, talk to people in your family, talk to elderly neighbors, just remind them, mm-hmm, to be a little cautious, because in this day and age, and certainly when we went through COVID, and we've talked about this too, loneliness is an epidemic, yeah, in this country. And so you get a random text like, are we still on for lunch? And you start up a conversation with this person, and it turns out to be an entirely elaborate scam. So
yeah,
communication is everything, right, Lisa?
Correct, Jane. Right. I mean, and in regard to reducing the volume of fundraising calls specifically, if I could just mention, I would say that in making a request, you know, go ahead and request that from the caller, or, you know, the person that's sending you the bill in the mail for the donation. You know, simply ask them straight out, or demand that they remove you from their mailing list or their phone calling list. And if they don't adhere to your wishes, turn around and file a complaint. You can file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, either one. But we do see those complaints come in on a very regular basis.
Well, and nothing, yeah, is going to get better if people don't take the time to report that, unfortunately. It falls back on us.
Yep.
It does. It falls, yeah, back on us if we want to affect some change.
Oh my gosh, Jane, that is the most beautiful sentence I've ever heard in my life. People, yeah, things are not going to change if people don't take the time to report.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of people say things like, I don't have time.
It's right. And nothing's going to happen with this anyway. And yeah. I'm just one person. And what difference is it going to make? Just one person. You get 500 of you. Then we're going to start seeing some things getting done, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, yes. Yes.
According to the text,
words are hard.
Yeah, hard words today. Chris texting in 608 says he believes that the Galaxy and iPhones do that as well, where it will give you the option to block. I know that iPhones will say might be Jane. But if it's not, it will say, kick him out of here.
And as Lisa said, the Better Business Bureau is there for us, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Utilize it. It's free to you. Yes.
Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. Thank you so very much, Lisa. It's been a really wonderfully informative half hour, and we'd love to have you back again down the road, okay?
Thank you so much, Jane. Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Stay close. News coming up next in Entertainment Minute with Pete Schwabe. When we return, we're talking fancy turntables. Stay close.
Fancy turntables.
This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. If you download the Civic Media app, you can call and text directly from the app. Very excited to have our next guest join us. If you are a fan of vinyl, if you love music, and you are looking for a fancy schmancy turntable, you have tuned in to the right program. He took over as the president of Soda Sound Design in 2018. Kristen Grigo is our guest based in Delavan. Good morning, Kristen. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about Soda Sound Design, first of all, and some of the background on the company.
Well, Soda's been around since 1979, and it was established in Berkeley, California, and by two physicists that were much smarter than me. And it's actually an amazing story. It's platform. So there's four springs that suspended the table, and it's tuned very low so that you could be dancing in around your house like we used to play in college. But instead of your album skipping, it won't miss a beat. It gets rid of all external influence from either the speakers or the people dancing, so that you don't have the needle jumping all over the place. It's an amazing design. And I had three of them, and whenever I had the chance to work with the company and structure a buyout, I was able to buy the company, which is an amazing story in and of itself.
That's incredible. Are you from Wisconsin originally?
No. I was a New Mexican in New Mexico, grew up in a small town of Clovis, New Mexico, but being a trombone player and you get a music performance degree, this is what happens. You gotta move.
You got to get a job someplace, right, Kristen?
Yeah, you got to grow up sometime.
Now, vinyl has seen this amazing resurgence, at least in the last 15, maybe even 20 years. What is behind that? Because I've been in radio for 40 years. You know, we started out with playing things on albums. And then, of course, everything got better. And then it was CD. And then it was sound carts. And then it was CDs. And then all of a sudden, it's like, no, vinyl is, everybody wants vinyl again.
Well, it's the sound, it's the experience. And I grew up in the digital age, and I had Mark, who introduced me to Soda. I was like, I'm never going to listen to vinyl. He's like, come over sometime. And we put the record, the needle down, and we listened to the entire first half. And this is an experience that you don't have when you're streaming. You may start jumping around, and we're, our attention spans have gotten so short now that it's just, it's, people are searching, like reading a book, you know, just for that experience. And vinyl is the same thing. When I put the needle down, I listen to the entire half. I don't jump around from track to track or parts of a track. And I think that people are searching for a way to be grounded and have an experience. And honestly, when you're listening to an album, there's nothing like it. There's more depth of sound. And I think that, like with food, we've gotten so used to having bad food that you don't know what good food is. And same thing with sound. If you get so used to just hearing bad sound out of a little speaker out of your phone, you don't even know what's good anymore. And so I'm like a Pied Piper trying to get people to have the experience and to know what good sound is.
And I think it's really important that you point out, when you listen to an album, you're listening to the whole first side. Artists designed those albums and laid those tracks in a specific order for a reason.
Yes, for the experience of that entire album. And okay, it's intermission, you flip the album, and here we go again. It's the entire, the continuity of it, the idea. And a lot of times, and I struggle with this now with my artists only releasing singles. You know, you think about what you're missing. You're missing the artwork, the people, the printing, people that are doing the printing or the pressing. Yeah, it's nice to have something tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Reading liner notes.
The liner notes were, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Like you said, and the album art, the cover of the albums, that too was just a whole thing. And without a double album, how would we have cleaned all the seeds out?
What right. are you talking about, Jane?
I heard. That's what I've heard. Kristen Grigo is our guest. He is the president of Soda Sound Designs, which is based in Delavan, and they make turntables. And what are the price ranges that we're talking about here, Kristen?
We start off anywhere from $1,500 all the way up to about $26,000.
What goes into a $26,000 turntable?
Does it come with its own disc jockey? And does it come with Metallica? For me?
Yes, it does. It comes with its own roadies, everything. But honestly, when you start getting to this tier, you're getting very specific tone arms, very specific cartridges. The last show we were at, we showed with Grado Labs, who's a family-run business out of Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And we had a $12,500 cartridge, just a stylus.
Wow.
And then we had a Schroeder CB out of Frank Schroeder out of Germany, tone arm. And that's, you're pushing about $7,500 just for the tone arm. And then you add the turntable in. So a lot of times when you get to these real high levels, it's like, well, yeah, the Corvette's only, you know, $56,000. But if you want wheels, you got to put another $20,000 into it.
I'm assuming that this $7,500 stylus is not one that you put a quarter on so it doesn't skip.
No. And that's the thing. When you get these very high tolerances, we're down to the gram or 10th of the gram in stylus pressure. And the setup is very involved in these tables and the machining of them, like a platter. It's making sure things are absolutely parallel. And I mean, I bought a CNC lathe just for platters. And then we dial indicate every single one to make sure that they're within tolerance and they're where they need to be for this high level of experience.
We have a couple comments on the live stream. Scott McKellen says, I grew up in digital and I'd say I'm vinyl curious. I just don't have anywhere to store the inevitable collection if I take the plunge.
It really, yeah. You know what, Scott, that's a fair point and very smart to, yes.
The amount of room.
I have a record player. And now that I have a house, I can do that. But that when you start buying records, whether they're used or new, and you find that record store that gets you, they can become an addiction.
I have a couple thousand albums in my collection, and you have to stop shopping at some point and sit down and listen. And it's the other thing. It forces you to sit down and enjoy or purge and sell to friends.
Yeah.
That way too. I also think what a wonderful bonding opportunity for your kids to sit down and you know, so take turns. You know, this is my favorite album from when I was your age. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite album? So we'll listen to.
They're going
to
plug in their phone then.
Well, no, we'll listen to half of mine and we can talk about it and then listen to half of yours.
Yeah.
My daughter is 14 and she grew up in we have a listening room in my basement and she grew up in it. She has her own record collection.
Yeah.
And she loves getting new albums. She'll go with me to a show or to a record. We will go to a record store. They have those and you spend time looking through them and she has her own record collection.
And doesn't it lead to interesting discussions?
It does. And actually, I think her ears, she's a musician. She's a singer and guitar player. And for her, her ears are highly developed because she listens to different things and she'll talk about the quality of the bass or the quality of the guitar. And a lot of times when you get the compression from the digital, it squashes everything and you lose things that are in there.
Yeah. Some of the depth of the sound, right?
Oh, I mean, 100%.
Some of these albums were being, you know, when we talk about older albums, they're being recorded on, you know, 3-inch tape and that tape was cut and that tape was run again. And again, if you're listening to Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd, at least 5 guitar parts layered on there. And so you really want to be able to hear the 12 string and the 6 string and the electric and this electric. Yeah. But also another cool thing, and I'm very guilty, well, not guilty, but like I follow quite a few record printing presses on social media and the art of the record too is just, I mean, not just, you know, you got 180 gram vinyls, but also multicolored discs, limited edition. I mean, I saw a Jack White one that was, I would say, about an inch thick and had water inside of it.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, this world, I mean, so Scott, I would say start small, get a few records, try to resist the urge to buy a ton, but there is something to be said. I mean, I used to work in a barbershop and we would throw albums on like vinyl while we were cutting hair. And it was just great. It was wonderful.
I would say be careful with the quality of what you're getting into. Make sure I'd rather see somebody spend a little bit more money than have upgrade-itis and buy 4 turntables, you know, till they get what they're happy. Because a lot of times I actually bought something out of a big box for like $350 because I was curious.
Sure.
And how do they do this? And it was so bad. I listened to it for like 3 days and I sold it. I got rid of it. I couldn't. It wasn't what vinyl is to me with a good turntable.
If you're just joining us, Kristen Grigo is our guest. He's the president of Soda Sound Designs, which is based in Delavan, Wisconsin. And we're talking about higher-end turntables where you can play the song Jump Around in your living room and everyone is jumping around and it won't skip, which is pretty amazing. Are these turntables constructed in Delavan?
We make 100% everything there, except the motors. I mean, obviously, we're bringing in the motors. And the electronic boards are made in California. But we make the cabinetry. We do the sub chassis out of phenolic resin for the Heritage Series. The wood is from local, the forest up the road. I actually got a new tree that's coming down. So I'll probably go into the mill with that soon. But when trees fall down in storms with these winds and everything that come through, the sandy loam in the kettle moraine, it's not great for the roots. So when they go down, we'll pick them up. We'll buy them from people that have nice quality trees. And then we get them milled, kiln dried, and we're off and running.
That's great.
It's awesome.
It really is. Anything we can do to see things stay here and be built here and utilizing resources that are here, that's just a win-win all the way around.
Yep, absolutely.
How many people do you employ, Kristen?
We fluctuate between 9 and 15. We have a solid crew of 9 full-time workers, and then we have part-time workers that will fluctuate between 12 and 15. And I've got a great crew. They're amazing. We've taken machinists by trade and turned them into woodworkers. We've taken metal workers that were buffers and turned them into woodworkers. When we started, we didn't have all of these things 5 years in 2018 when I bought the company, and we've just slowly added on. And when we see an area that we need, we'll find a great person for that. And it's usually by word of mouth, which is, we don't have a problem finding great people.
Do you have any needs for morning radio people who you could just pay in record players?
Well, just come out sometime. We're doing, I'm just going to start doing some listening sessions on Saturday at our showroom in Elkhorn, Adagio. Oh, we're going to be doing like 2 to 5. We're going to be doing listening. So just bring some albums and come hang out.
That really sounds like a lot of fun. It sounds like back in the 1950s, right? When they would go to record stores and they had their little listening rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's exactly it. It's the experience, and it's funny. People just kind of relax, and then they don't want to leave. You know, sometimes you're like, okay, we're done, man.
we gotta go home. I have a life. Get out of my house. If people would like to find out more, or they would like to look into picking up one of your turntables, Kristen, where should they go?
Well, they look us up on sotaturntables.com. It's SOTA, which stands for state of the art, which is, you know, pretty strong words there, but it's state of the art. SOTA turntables.com on Facebook, Instagram, all the stuff.
We will get a link up in our show notes as well once we get the podcast up after the show is over. Biggest contentious arguments over the best album of all time among the employees at SOTA.
That's a tough one. I mean, it's overplayed. Pink Floyd is always up there. But that's because the stereo right, left, and you know, the sound of, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but, it's no different than, musicians with their excerpts. Everyone's got theirs.
Yeah. But do you have Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii on blue vinyl? Now that would sound amazing on...
I'll have to look at my collection. I've got a big collection of Pink Floyd, but a lot of times I end up playing all this at the trade show. So in my personal collection, it may sit there until it's time for a trade show, and then it comes out.
Yep. It's amazing. Check it out.
This has been so much fun and so interesting. Kristen Grigo is the president of SOTA Sound Designs, based in Delavan, Wisconsin, making wonderful turntables right here in the state. Kristen, thank you so very much. We're going to come to one of your listening sessions one of these weekends.
We'll do it. It's going to be great.
And we'll be the people, they're like, get out. We're closed.
Usually I'm fine until the wife starts texting, hey, come home.
Come home. Thank you so much, Kristen. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Last break before the top of the hour news. And then the one and only Todd, Father Todd Alba, taking over from noon to 2 p.m., followed by the one and only incomparable Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m., her new permanent slot here across the Civic Media Radio Network.
But before all of that, the one and only... Jane Matt Nair.
Well, that's very kind of you.
There you go.
It's been a great show. Thank you, everybody, for checking in. So much to cover and so much to talk about, including...
Yeah?
The lineup of the laughing tap.
You got that?
The tap that laughs.
The tippy tap tapper.
Yes, the tapping laugh.
Yeah, we have Colm Tyrell coming this weekend. He's a comic, I believe, out of New York, if I'm not mistaken. He is part of a group called, and I know you're going to love this, the Legion of Skanks. It's a... comedy.
The Legion of Skanks.
I didn't make it up. Don't yell at me. It's like a podcast network, and he's one of the podcasters. It's very popular. Like those guys, like they do quite well. And he's been on the Tonight Show. And yeah, he'll be here Friday and Saturday. Three shows, one Friday, two Saturday. And tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door.
Can't beat that deal.
No drink minimum.
You really can't beat that deal. And I'm always impressed, Greg, with the level of talent that you guys get.
Why, thank you.
I mean, considering you are a relatively small club, you're a smaller club, but to get these guys who are on late night TV, you know, that's impressive. So they must like coming to Milwaukee.
Actually, can I read you an email from an artist who, Nicole Amy Schreiber, who just came to the club?
Yes,
she sent us this wonderful, she said, I cannot express enough how grateful I am for my weekend at your club. I could barely sleep Saturday night when I got home from the shows. I still can't stop thinking about how much fun I had.
How
you guys
lovely.
Are building something really unbelievably magical over there, I'm so happy to have been a part of it.
That's really great to hear.
That is the big thing for us is, you know, we're not we're not a big corporate club. There's nothing wrong with those places. We're small, 80 chairs run by artists, but you can tell if you are a comedy fan, if you're a comedian, you walk in that room, there's a warmth in there. There's a welcoming attitude. Unless you are part of the 16 people that apparently I ruined their life on Saturday, but that's a whole other story.
That's part of your job sometimes.
Well, I was only part of my job when you bring it on.
Well, can we just say, just as a rule, a general rule for a comedy club attendees,
general rule? Yeah.
You are not funnier than the comic. I don't care what your friends tell you.
Well, it's not even so much about, like, you know, there's times when people will heckle and they think they're helping.
Uh-huh.
There are times when people walk through the door and they're the funny guy at the office.
Right.
And those are, you know, hey, if you're the funny guy in the office, Wednesday, we have an open mic.
Yeah, that's where you take that.
Take it. Come on down.
Absolutely.
Make some jokes. Let's do this. But you don't interrupt. You don't talk to. You don't disrespect the room because you're disrespecting the comedian on stage. You're disrespecting the audience who has paid money. And you're disrespecting us as producers and our room. And the sheer, like, ugh, whatever, who cares? But also, and the reason I referenced them, the 16 people, is that they were talking during the show, and I told them not to before the show. I laid out very clear what we expect from people.
And these are the rules.
Be respectful. And that's the main thing. Like, the number was just be respectful. And no, they had to come at me and say some really nasty things and whatnot and
Bounced right off you.
As I told you, like, I have been doing this long enough where I've had enough people. I've had people try to get physical with me.
That's a mistake.
I've had people get in my face, and my thing is, that's fine. This place still stands when you leave, and we had a great time. And if you're going to work on Sunday or if you're going to work on Monday and I'm the first thing you're talking about because I ruined your Saturday, I win.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
So you come on down to the Laughing Tap, see a show, come see me. You can't miss me. I'm sitting right at the front door and you really can't miss me because I look like this.
You'll notice, yeah. Mr. Bach.
And let's come see some comedy. Listeners have come to see shows before and that's wonderful.
Laughingtap.com.
And Scott from St. Louis came to a show. He saw the Barons Brothers and he says it's his favorite. Thank you very much, Scott. But yeah, come on down. It'll be a really fun time. We'll high five and you'll have some fun comedy, funny times. You'll laugh a lot.
You'll laugh. And there's nothing like laughing with a group of people.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's contagious that way. And you just feel good all over. Yeah. Speaking of feeling good, the weather is outside. Is it unbelievable right now?
The weather is not frightening.
No, it's really fantastic. If you have the opportunity this afternoon to get outside, I would suggest that you keep up on the forecast a little bit because there was a big storm system that is going through Colorado right now.
Yeah,
it's kind of heading our way, from what I understand.
It's got to change planes in Atlanta though.
It does. There's a layover.
Boom.
But things might be changing later on this afternoon and certainly into this evening and overnight. So expect 25 degrees tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
As opposed to the 72 that we have right now. So this is Wisconsin whiplash weather. And speaking of that, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to be joining us tomorrow for Wednesday Weather and Wine. She will be here at 11:50 to give us an update on the forecast. As we said again, Scott says too on the live stream, false spring is over. Yaha.
Well, you know, people on Saturday were coming in shivering to the club. I'm like, and then they were complaining. I said, hey, we got off super easy
one. Yeah.
Mark from the SAC real quick texted in and said, King Crimson's in the court of the Crimson King. Yes, Mark, that is a fantastic record. Their first album, which has 21st Century Schizoid Man, which is amazing.
All right. We're all going to bring our favorite albums and we're going to go to Delavan and we're going to go do the listening session and we'll just take it over.
I just don't have a problem with that.
Thank you, everyone, again, so very much for listening and for calling and for texting and leaving on comments on the live stream. It seriously means everything. News is coming up next. Stick around for that. I hope you find some joy today. and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.